Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Awaken Me Too. This is Bruce Carroll and my lovely and talented and gifted bride, Nikki Carroll. And we are excited about being able to spend another half hour with you. This week, we have a very special guest, somebody that I know really well. It's me. Nikki is going to be interviewing me. I have certainly had some twists and turns in my life. Nikki and I have had some ups and downs over the years. Again, this is a program about real people with real stories serving a real God. And that's why we're here. And Nikki, welcome to Awaken Me Too.
Thank you. I want to welcome you because you are my special guest today as I get to interview you, and I'm so excited.
Yes.
Because people don't know you the way they need to know you. They know you as Bruce Carroll, the recording artist and worship leader. This is exciting. I have been writing a book for a long time, and I just turned to the chapter called Guitar, Oh Man, and I wanted to read a little blurb from it. "I never said I was a lady, Mr. Bruce Carroll," I answered. "You're a lady, all right, but you just keep firing that softball into my glove like a rocket, my little tomboy, because this has sealed the deal on my heartstrings." Bruce had a way of saying things. He also had a way of demonstrating his love toward me. Nobody had ever loved me like him before. "Do you mind if I play your guitar?" asked Bruce one day. I had an old K guitar sitting on the floor in the corner of my living room that a friend had purchased for me. "No, help yourself." I didn't even know he could play the guitar, actually. So Bruce picked up the guitar and he began to play. When he opened his mouth, I just looked at him and my mouth dropped open and I said, "God is going to do something big with you. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be huge." You want to talk about that, Bruce?
Well, I will say that you were the one that introduced me to Christian music. I didn't know that there was such a thing. I was a brand new believer. I came to Christ August 15th, 1979, in the afternoon in Westminster, Colorado. I had aspired to be a singer-songwriter my whole life since I was a kid. That's what I wanted to do. And I had tried to do that, but it just hadn't worked out. I had played in clubs and bars since I was 16 years old in South Texas and New Mexico and Colorado, and I just wasn't grounded in Christ. I was drinking too much. I was doing too many drugs. I was just trying to find myself. And in the process, I pretty much lost everything and came to the end of myself, which is what happens. Ideally, for those of us who are God's beloved and who are called according to his purpose, we have to come to our senses, to the end of ourselves, and realize that the most important thing in life is a relationship with Christ. And so I came to those crossroads in 1979.
In fact, when I met you, I was 4 years old in the Lord. So I was a baby myself, but you were a brand new babe in the Lord as yes. You had just come to know the Lord just a couple months before. Why don't you tell us how that happened?
That's why I didn't know that there was a thing called Christian music. I had tried to write songs, and of course I wasn't a very good songwriter at that time and was really just singing top 40 songs in clubs and bars. And came to the point where it just wasn't working, and I sold all my instruments, and I was trying to work other odd jobs and figure out what I was supposed to be when I grew up. God just brought me to that crossroads place to where I knew that there had to be something more to life than what I had already experienced. Music was really important to me, and I didn't think that I was ever going to even be able to do that. But in 1978, the year before I came to Christ, my older brother Milton came to Christ, and he was also a singer-songwriter and musician, and he had actually experienced some success. He'd been out with Willie Nelson, and he had a record contract. And he was a really good songwriter, and he was on the road. Well, he came to the crossroads, too, and realized that there's something more to life than just music. Him and I, as it turned out, were a lot alike. In a lot of ways, everybody's a lot alike in that we all want to know what our purpose is. Mm-hmm. We all want to know that we've been put on earth to do something. Mm-hmm. What is that? And the only way that we can know what that is through a relationship with Christ. So he started to share with his little brother, me, how he was now a Christian, and he sent me a Bible with my name on it, and he was calling me all the time, reading the scripture to me over the phone, telling me how much Jesus loved me and how I needed to get saved, and I didn't even know what any of that meant.
In fact, you thought that was pretty annoying, didn't you?
Actually, yes. It was kind of embarrassing, you know? I mean, this was my big brother, and he was sort of my hero, and I aspired to be like him, and I looked up to him. He walked out on his record contract. He got off the road. He wasn't working with Willie anymore. He was a welder, and all he wanted to do was talk about Jesus and study the Bible, and that was very foreign to me. And in fact, the whole family talked about him. Man, what happened to Milton? He has lost his mind. His cheese has slid off his cracker. Oh, it's just a phase. He'll grow out of it, is what we said, but he didn't grow out of it. And in fact, he got more intentional, almost militant, about sharing the Lord with me. This went on for almost a year, and I remember the day that I said, Milton, look, man, I really don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I'm really glad that this is working for you, but it's not what I want to do. So appreciate the Bible with my name on it. Appreciate you calling me all the time. But man, can we like move on from this? And he said, brother, I just know you so well, and you're like me, and you've got a hole in your soul that can only be filled by Christ. You just need to get saved. And I got mad at him one day, and I told him to never call me again. I remember hanging up on him. Like, he called and he read a scripture to me, and I said,
he had been reading scripture to you, in fact. Quoting it.
Yeah, but you know, like, this was just one scripture too much. And I said, Milton, I'm done. Don't ever call me anymore. I don't want to hear about Jesus anymore.
What was that final scripture he had shared with you?
I'm pretty sure it was, if anyone be in Christ, to be a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then he called me back, right back. And he said, okay, brother, I'm not going to call you anymore, but I'm going to fast and pray for you until you get saved. And of course, I didn't know what fasting.
And there was no caller ID at that time, so you couldn't tell.
No, and so I had to answer the phone. Yeah. And he said, I'm going to fast and pray for you. And I said, you can pray as fast as you want to for me. I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. So I hung up on him again. And man, the Holy Spirit worked on me over that next week, almost 2 weeks. I started to ponder. I started to contemplate some of those scriptures that Milton had quoted, you know, how I could be more than a conqueror. I could have peace to pass understanding. I could be brand new. I could be a new creature, a new creation. I could have my past wiped clean. I could have a direction. I could have a purpose in my life.
What was happening to you with all of your belongings?
I had lost a couple of jobs. I was broke. I was losing my house. And there wasn't any way to save it, and I had to be out on a certain date. And I was just miserable. You know, the car was broke down. I didn't have money for gas. I barely had enough money for food.
So you were losing everything.
I was losing everything, and I didn't know what I was supposed to be. I didn't know where I was supposed to be or what I was supposed to do. So God knew, because nothing has ever occurred to God, he already knows it. So he knew that I was going to be in that state at that time. And he knew that those scriptures, those supernatural scriptures from his supernatural word, were going to start ministering to my soul. And they did.
I think you were the lowest you had ever been, weren't you?
I was so low that all I could do was look up. And I did. That's what I like to say. I looked up. I looked up to the heavens. And on that day, August 15th, at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Meade Street in Westminster, Colorado, I said, God, if you're real, I want you to take my life and somehow make sense out of it. Show me what to do. Help me. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I've exhausted every avenue of escape and direction that I know. So if you're real, if you're the God that Milton says you are, please come inside of me and take over and become to me in my life what you have become to Milton. Be that real. Because right now, I don't have anywhere else to turn. And I prayed something pretty similar to that.
What happened when you came up off the ground?
I remember I was crying, just crying out to God, crying out to Jesus, because Milton had said multiple times, no man comes to the Father but through the Son. You have to know Jesus in order to have revelation of God. And when I cried out to Jesus, I didn't see him walk through my living room on Mead Street in Westminster, but I really felt, I felt something new.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit invaded me, and my spirit man bore witness to something happening in the spirit. And I felt different when I got up. I mean, my life was still in ruins, but I had a little bit of hope. And I thought, wow, you know, I feel different. I feel like I've got some hope, and I feel like God heard me. I don't understand it, but I feel like something has happened.
So what was the first thing you did?
When one comes to Christ, the spirit man bears witness to the Spirit of God, and you encounter Christ for the first time. I've heard this so many times through the lives of so many people that they have this desire to call and tell somebody because it's good news.
Well, so who'd you call?
I mean, the good news of the gospel is that, hey, I'm not just floating around in the ether anymore. I'm God's kid, and he's going to take my life and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know that God is real. So I had this desire. I had this almost uncontrollable desire to call somebody and say, man, I just cried out to Jesus and I think something big has happened. And God gave me the desire to call Milton.
Wow.
And so I did. And I mean, I'm sure he was shocked to hear from me, but as it turns out, I mean, he'd been fasting and praying for me for almost 2 weeks, right? So when I called him, he answered the phone. He always answered the phone the few times that I'd called him. He answered the phone, praise the Lord. So he answered the phone the same way that day. He said, praise the Lord. And I said, Milton, this is Bruce. He said, yeah. And I started crying again. I just couldn't stop crying. I was just, oh, Milton. I was trying to tell him what had happened. And, you know, just how tenderized my heart was, because I really sensed the presence of God and that something supernatural had happened. So I was trying to tell him what happened. And he was asking me, are you okay? Are you okay? What happened? Are you okay? And I was trying to tell him that I surrendered to Jesus, and then he got it. I don't know that I actually got those words out, but he knew what had happened. And I heard the phone drop, and I didn't hear anything. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's had a heart attack is what I thought. He's had a heart attack. I've called him and told him that I surrendered to Jesus, and he's had a heart attack. I'm going, Milton, are you okay? And then way in the background, I heard, praise God. And it would get louder. Praise God. Praise God. And it would get louder and softer, and then it would go away. And I asked him about that later. I said, bro, the day that I called you and told you that I had surrendered to Christ, what happened? He said, well, when you told me that you had cried out to Jesus, I freaked out. I mean, it was an answer to prayer. I mean, I'd been praying for you and witnessing to you for a year. And when you called me, I dropped the phone and just started running around the house with my hands in the air, praising the Lord. And I said, oh, okay, cool, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I had wondered what happened. And then I got to thinking, you know, plus he'd been fasting and praying for 2 weeks. He was hungry, you know, so now he knew he could eat. So I'm sure he was happy about that. But
that is an incredible testimony.
So that's how my journey with the Lord started all those years ago. And then I met you.
Well, Bruce, when I met you, you were very young in the Lord, and you chased me for some time.
I did.
I met you at church.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, let me tell a little bit of how that happened.
Okay.
So Milton was out of state. He lived in Texas when he was witnessing to me and praying for me. And we had an older brother, Billy, who was our oldest, living in Denver at that time, and he wasn't a believer. So Milton yes. was visiting mm-hmm. in town and was witnessing to Billy.
Yes, and you lived in Denver, and I lived in Denver.
Right, and so you were a roller skating waitress at Lau Lau Zato's in Denver. It sounds like a country song.
Well, it was
she
a very...
was a roller skating waitress. Yeah, so...
It was a very elite restaurant
right.
downtown.
And so you skated up to Milton and Billy's table, and Milton had been telling Billy that there's Christians everywhere. And the first thing that Billy said when you skated up was, "Excuse me, are you a Christian?" And you said, "Why, as a matter of fact, I am."
Yes, he had a very gruff voice,
right.
and he could
and he
not
said,
believe
said,
there were
Darn.
Other Christians.
Well, okay, well, that's weird.
So, right, and Milton asked me where a local church could be, because he had a brother that just came to know the Lord, and I told him about mine.
Right. So you had actually met both of my older brothers before you met me.
That's correct.
And so you gave Milton the name of your church. Milton called me and said, "Bro, now that you're a believer, you're a brand new Christian, you have to get discipled. You got to get in the Word," which is why I sent you that Bible, "but you got to get plugged into a church. And here's the name of a church, Foothills Bible Church," and wherever it was, Arvada or...
It was actually in Morrison, Colorado.
Yeah, okay. So I was in Morrison.
And unbeknownst to me, because I didn't remember this at the time, but two men from our church, you started going there, and two men from our church started discipling you. They went over to your home.
Well, I actually called them is what happened. So
okay.
Milton gave me the name of the church and said, the girl, really pretty girl, waited on our table, and her name's Nikki. Ask for her if you go or when you go. So he said, you got to get discipled. You've got to sit under some other brothers and get the Word of God in you. So I remember calling the church office and saying, "Hey, I just became a Christian. I need some help. I'm told I need to be discipled. So who do I talk to?" And Bob
Walden
and
Mark Roggeman.
Mark Roggeman came to my house like the next day.
And I had no idea that they did.
And
I had worked with Mark Roggeman before during deprogrammings. And
right.
when I found that out just a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
Because you didn't remember that either, I thought, wow.
No, it just never came full circle.
But I want to tell the story because you're going to tell it different. How I met you on the stairs at Foothills Bible Church. I'm at the top of the stairs getting ready to go downstairs and go out. You are at the bottom of the stairs, and I said to the pastor, "Pastor Harry, I'd like to meet Bruce Carroll, who has started coming here." And he said, "Well, there he is now at the bottom of the stairs."
Right.
And you're looking up at me. You're just staring.
Well, that was easy to do.
And... And you thought there were lights behind me and stained glass windows and the Shekinah glory of God. There was none of that.
To this day, I think there was a stained glass window there and the light was hitting your hair, radiating off your hair a certain way. There was this aura about you. You know, and I looked at you and I thought, you were one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. And it was that love at first sight kind of a thing. I, you know, my mouth was open like, oh my gosh, who
but
is
none
that?
Of that was true. And that day I looked
yeah,
very plain.
Yeah, there probably
plain.
Wasn't a stained glass window there, but somehow
and
I remember there being.
That's how we were introduced. And you chased me for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And... I thought, he's very young in the Lord and needs a lot of growing. But the thing that I do remember was I saw something in you, and you said at the time, you said, "I love it that you color outside the lines and that you see things in me outside the box." And to me, I thought you were no ordinary guy. I had said to you at the time that when God called you, he placed a high call on your life. And I just wanted to keep my eyes on you during that time and watch God grow you. And so our dates, a lot of them were at the Village Inn reading the Bible, which you thought were odd, but you said you'd do anything with me.
Yeah, I mean, you were inviting me to a restaurant for a meal and Bible study. I mean, I thought that was awesome. Yeah, but like you say, I would have gone anywhere with you, you know? I mean, because I just wanted to be with you. And we did a lot of that in the first year. And I remember when you were house-sitting early on and you asked me if I wanted to play catch in the backyard. And you had a couple of gloves and a softball. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. This girl's asking me to play catch. Girls never ask me to play catch. Not only did you ask me to play catch, you were quite the softball player. It turns out you're very athletic, and you played fast pitch when you were younger. And I thought, man, she is even more awesome than I thought she was. Not only is she beautiful, but she look at her throw that softball.
I think that's why you chased me.
Well, that was one of the reasons. I came over to your house one afternoon, and that's when I saw the K acoustic guitar behind the chair. You didn't know that I played the guitar or that I sang, and so I picked it up and sang a James Taylor song or something, and then that's when you said, God's going to do something big with you.
And then
that's when I said, well, what do you mean? What could God do big with music? I've been in music for years, and it hasn't amounted to anything. And you said, you can do Christian music.
Well, the thing is...
And then you introduced me to Evie and B.J. Thomas.
John Michael Talbot, Terry Talbot. All of Love Song.
Phil
and
Kagi.
All of Yes. And at that time, I was speaking to all kinds of groups. And I asked you if you would come open for me, which was really funny. And you said, "Oh, I have not sang for people unless it was in a bar." And I said, "Well, you can do this."
Yeah, and so I had to learn a couple of Christian songs,
so I played my albums for you, and you learned a couple Christian songs. You were amazing. And so I asked you to come in and sing a song at the church, and the first one you did was Paul Clark's song, "As for Me and My House."
That's right.
It was so good. You were a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this was the first Christian song I learned. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord now and forevermore. He'll be our God, we'll be His people. Yep.
Oh, that's so good.
I remember that.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, Nikki, we're going to continue this in another episode. We're going to leave everybody hanging.
Yeah, we want to hear about how you got into the music business.
Yeah, so we're going to leave everybody hanging until next week when we carry this tale to the barn.
Bruce had a handful of problems when we first met, but so did I. But we faced them head on, and sometimes they kicked me into a backward spiral of, do I really want to take the time with this relationship? Had it not been for Bruce's persistence, I'm not sure we'd be Bruce and Nikki today. He chased me with a vengeance. But here we are today, and we're going to find out in part two what happened next.
Yes, we are. And for anyone listening, remember, no matter the situation or circumstance, God is bigger than any problem, any pain, any sorrow, any hurt. There's always hope as long as Jesus lives. We'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us on Awaken Me Too.
There is hope.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.